Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what up, what up, what up, what up, yo, what up, it's your boy PDP. Hope everybody out there is having a great day, man. Yes, you are tuned in to PDP Radio. What you listening to right there, man, is some of that little instrumental R.I.P. to Mr. Nipsey Hussle. That's the dedication beat with him and Kendrick Lamar. Man, one of the most influential, but man, right before his passing, he was actually being really positive, speaking things into existence, man. He would say that he would not let his family go outside the house without burning a little bit of sage, man. So yes, man. R.I.P. to Mr. Nipsey Hussle. It's been 1 year since he passed away. He passed away March 31st of last year, man. May he rest in peace. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy how 2020 has come about. You know what I'm saying? And you just think about some of the artists that has passed away too as well, and you just kind of think like how life had be just taken for granted, man, especially when it comes to some of these hip-hop artists, you know what I'm saying? So rest in peace Juice WRLD too as well. But one thing about this 2020 that got me excited, it got a lot of people excited, in which nowadays people are starting to talk. Yes, I don't know about you, but I'm loving these interviews, man. One of my favorites, whenever Kevin Garnett, have you guys heard of the story when he was talking about, when he was trash talking Jordan? Oh, man. And then have you guys seen where Allen Iverson has talked about his first encounter with Jordan and come to find out why he took it so personal whenever he crossed Jordan? Yes, people are starting to talk, and the most, probably going to be the most watched documentary of all time. It's going to be The Last Dance. Yes, Michael Jordan. What? Yes, Michael Jordan, The Last Dance. I cannot wait. It's about to air April 19th on ESPN. Michael Jordan, hands down, the best, you know, the best athlete of all time. And who's giving him a run for his money? Who I think needs to sit his butt down and stop while he's on top of him is Tom Brady. You know, he's going over to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, but that arguably one of the best receivers in the game. But we're going to see if he's going to be as good as he thinks he is. But, man, the Last Dance, man, it's a 10-part documentary on Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. And the Chicago Bulls in the 90s was definitely that team. And what I really want to talk about is just personally how I felt just as a kid, man. As a kid, my mom, she loved B.J. Armstrong. And now I see why I was so passionate about Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls, because my mom used to tell me whenever she was pregnant with me, that's who she would watch. And no matter what she was doing, she just loved to go watch B.J. Armstrong and Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. But, of course, you know, as I was born and as I got older, I was like, B.J. Armstrong, yeah, he all right, but mama, Michael Jordan is the man, you know. But, you know, and for the people who are popular out there, who got a big following, man, you know, when you win a lot, people start to hate you and people start to get used to you winning, so they don't really want to see you win as much. So that's how I felt like my mom felt about Jordan. You know, it was just one of those things. Oh, yeah, he know he's great, but I'm going to rock with B.J. Armstrong, you know. But I rock with B.J. Armstrong and also Scottie Pippen, but nobody could compare it to Michael Jordan. And a lot of kids grew up, you know, watching Michael Jordan, and people just love his airiness. But what I liked about Michael Jordan was his work ethic and his attitude. You know, that's one thing that I saw as a kid growing up, and I just wasn't just looking at him just flying through the air, you know, with his tongue all out, his shoulders shrugged, his bald head. You know, I wasn't really into all that. I was just into, like, seeing him play after play, because that's something that I embodied as a player, you know, and then as a baseball player too as well, and as well as football. But what I saw with Michael Jordan is if he made a great play, He went out there and tried to do it again, play after play. And he didn't take plays off how a lot of people take plays off. And as I got to college, I started to realize that, man, shout out to Coach Leach, because Coach Leach was talking about you got to make the routine plays. Make every routine play, so whenever you make a great play, it makes those routine plays look so much better. Because if you just make a great play every once in a while, you're just going to be a mediocre athlete. And then you're not going to be consistent. But if you get consistent making routine plays, when you make that great play, it's going to be spectacular. That's when the extra comes in front of ordinary. It becomes extraordinary. And that's what Michael Jordan did. You know what I'm saying? He constantly hit them jump shots, routine plays. He go up there, whoop, 19-footer, whoop, 20-footer, whoop, fadeaway. Oh, that was an extraordinary play. But the fadeaways wouldn't be so great if he did not make the routine plays. That's what Michael Jordan did night after night, game after game, and he played every game of the year, every game in the season. You know what I'm saying? Everybody knows the iconic flu game. Yes, he went out there with the flu, coronavirus. But no, and just think about how immature that was, and people – after getting people sick, spreading the flu. Shame on you, MJ. They will shut the season down now. But that's crazy as you fast forward nowadays, man. But back in that day, everybody loved that game. And I think he scored, about 50 points that game. And I remember watching an interview just lately. Scottie Pippen was talking about that famous flu game. And he said whenever Jordan goes off by himself while he's on the court, he knows that's whenever it's time for him to step it up. They had that language. They had that chemistry where Jordan and Pippen didn't have to say a word to one another. Pippen, they just knew from body language on what they had to do. So, salute to them too. But what Michael Jordan did was make routine plays. And it doesn't matter if it was offensively or defensively, Michael Jordan made the routine plays. And that's why people talk about, they compare him and LeBron. It's two different eras. You know what I'm saying? But LeBron doesn't consistently hit. If LeBron had a consistent jump shot like Michael Jordan did, man, it would be hands down LeBron James would be the greatest athlete of all time. But they're different. You know what I'm saying? But Michael Jordan, he's just a little bit smaller than MJ, and he's that person that he was Kobe before Kobe. You know what I'm saying? And I was just watching an interview about Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan. And this is the competitiveness in Michael Jordan. Whenever he was playing for the Washington Wizards, he was playing against the Lakers. And it was the last time that these guys ever played against one another. Whenever they were in Washington, Michael Jordan, they beat the Lakers. I believe it was 100-99. Jordan hit the last shot. But Kobe was wearing some Jordans. Jordan walks up to Kobe and was like, you can wear those shoes all you want, but you will never be able to fill them. He said, you can wear the Jordans. He had on the Jordan 8s. You can wear the Jordans all you want, but you would never be able to fill them. And that ticked Kobe off. Kobe Bryant, in my Charles Barkley voice, Kobe Bryant, yeah, man, they flew back to L.A. He didn't talk to his whole team for 2 weeks. 2 weeks and talked to the whole Los Angeles Lakers. Only person that knew what was going on was Phil Jackson. So the team went to go ask Phil Jackson, hey, coach, man, what's going on with Kobe? Is he mad at us? And that's when Phil says, no, he's still mad about whenever we played Jordan. And that was like from 2 weeks ago? He's like, he's still mad about that? It was like, yes. Phil told the Lakers what Jordan said to Kobe. And then he said, Phil Jackson told the Lakers, he was like, yeah, Kobe, well, Jordan told Kobe that, yeah, you can wear them shoes all you want, but you'll never be able to fill them. Ooh, and that's when the Lakers was like, oh, so that's why Kobe is mad. So the next time the Lakers and the Washington Wizards met up, the Lakers knew what was about to go on because they knew how mad Kobe Bryant was. Kobe Bryant ended up hitting 45 points in the first half. Ended up scoring 55 points. That's whenever you see the video all up on social media of Kobe Bryant with Jordan falling and Kobe Bryant's on top of him, and then they hug it out. That's the iconic moment right there. And at the end of the game, you got Jordan sitting there on the bench with the towel, you know, on the back of his neck, and that's whenever he officially gave the game over to Kobe Bryant. And that's one heck of a story, and that's crazy how Kobe Bryant has passed away. May he rest in peace, because, you know, a lot of people didn't give Kobe Bryant his flowers while he was here, man. People, and it was evident whenever he passed away, people were bringing up the negative stuff that, you know, he had got over with and moved past his life. But, you know, that's a whole other conversation that we can have. But that's when Kobe Bryant was consistent, just like how Michael Jordan was, man. But Michael Jordan was just on a whole nother level. And I was watching one interview. Who was it? Was it Stephon Marbury? I think it was Marbury talking about how when Jordan played, nobody else ate. Nobody ate. Like Patrick Ewing. I was just watching Charles Barkley. You know, Charles Barkley won the MVP 1 year, and then they still got beat by the Bulls. And I was just studying Jordan on this. It's because I was studying the Dream Team. You know, the Dream Team, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Jordan, David Robinson, everybody. You know, the Dream Team, the famous, probably the best team ever. And you know who averaged the most points During that Dream Team tournament? Charles Barkley. You know, Charles, that's why Michael Jordan and Charles Barkley were so good friends. I knew Charles Barkley was good, but I didn't realize he was that good. As I go back and I see the stats and see where the Phoenix Suns, yes, the Phoenix Suns, yes, man, they gave the Bulls, you know, the run for their money, and Charles Barkley was that guy. But you just could not do nothing with MJ, because nobody else ate when MJ played. MJ took a two-year hiatus, man. May his dad rest in peace. When his dad passed away, he was like, you know what, I'm about to go play baseball. He said he could have played baseball in college, and that's, I knew me and Michael Jordan had something in common, because that's what I wish I would have played in college too as well. But Michael Jordan, man, a lot of people didn't realize how good he was, man, to even do what he did in the minor leagues there in Chicago. Man, was still such a big deal, but he was so much of a good athlete, people was just expecting him to be great. So whenever he was just a normal person, people were just like, he's all right. But he took a two-year hiatus. And that's whenever the Houston Rockets finally won the championship. You know what I'm saying? That's Sam Cassell. Y'all remember Sam Cassell? Akeem Olajuwon. Ooh-wee. Everybody thought the Knicks was going to get it. I thought the Knicks was going to get it. John Starks, you know, Patrick Ewing, Charles Oakley and all of them. I thought the Knicks was going to get it that year. But nope, it was the Houston Rockets. You know what I'm saying? Ended up taking it. But the point I'm trying to make is that but Jordan – yeah, I believe what Stephon Marbury was talking about Jordan. Nobody ate when Jordan played. But when LeBron played, fast forward, a lot of people out here is winning championships. But the competition level is different, though. You do got a point. And I'll be listening to Shannon Sharp. Shannon Sharp's talking about how Jordan wasn't really that good. Skip talking about Jordan wasn't really that good. Talking about numbers don't matter. Boy, that's crazy with the stuff people come up with when they be really trying to prove a point. But you know, Michael Jordan is the best player of all time. But what I was talking about, man, is just because of the consistency that he brought to the table. You know what I'm saying? Winning. Everybody knows about the Steve Kerr situation right there. But he demanded the best of you at practice. And that's one thing that I always continue to notice, in which I always put in my game. Because I remember playing Little League football, I go bust for a big run. I'm trying to do that big run every play. And that's what you can see in Jordan. Every play he took what he could get. You know what I'm saying? It's like he just practiced those jump shots. He can just come up, whoop, that's a routine play. He come up, whoop, routine play. And next thing you know, he's getting double teamed, and then he's either passing it off or he's coming up on the other side of the goal doing something extraordinary. You know, he's doing something ordinary, but he's doing, but it looks extraordinary because he is looking so much better when you consistently do good work. And that's what Jordan did. You know what I'm saying? But even though I do think Jordan lost that dunk contest to Dominique Wilkins back in the day. They should have went ahead and gave it to him, but that was in Chicago. You know what I'm saying? That was in Chicago. And, of course, you know, Jordan did the high-flying dunk, you know, and, of course, they was going to give it to Jordan. I believe he was MVP, too, at that All-Star game, too, as well. Now, give me some of this apple juice. Apple juice is off the chain. But, yeah, man, but Jordan consistently made the routine plays, and that's what made him so great. It's because he can keep chipping it away. But Jordan spoiled us. You know what I'm saying? Because Jordan was that guy. Jordan was that guy that nobody – he was not the first pick in the hood. You know what I'm saying? And that's how I embodied my game. You know what I'm saying? A lot of people, I'm like, well, what you talking about? Of course, Jordan, man, you know when you play pickup games back in the hood, you don't want that flashy guy. I mean, you don't want the guy who's like a Tim Duncan type of player. You know what I'm talking about. Most people wanted the and ones, man. You know, everybody always dribbling. And if he wasn't like a flashy player, you know what I'm saying, a lot of people wasn't really rocking with you. Because I remember I was MVP, you know what I'm saying, every year that I played basketball, but I was just one of those Michael Jordan types, you know. Instead of me trying to cross you over when I know I could just run past you, I'm going to do that. Like, when I know I can just steal it from you on the first try, like, why play around with you? I'm going to go ahead and get it done and get it over with. But, you know, but that's how Jordan was. Jordan, what I believe, wouldn't have been the first pick. You know what I'm saying? Unless somebody knew how great that he was. But if it was just some random people and they just doing a little shooting around, and Jordan wasn't really that Allen Iverson type of guy whenever it comes to being flashy, you know, I don't think he would have been the first pick. You know, I think people would pick Allen Iverson over a Michael Jordan in a pickup game whenever you're playing at Rutgers Park or something like that. It's because it's based off, like, appearance and stuff, and Jordan just wasn't that flashy type of guy. And because at the end of the day, it was all about results. And Michael Jordan loved the game of basketball so much. I was watching an interview on him recently of why he came back to play basketball after baseball. He said he felt like the guy, the young guys, was disrespecting the game. Yeah, disrespecting the game. And at that time, the young guys was the Penny Hardaways, Shaquille O'Neal's, Allen Iverson's, you name it. You know, those was like the most popular names, you know what I'm saying? And the Magic ended up beating Jordan whenever he first came back, too, as well. That's why a lot of people don't talk about that, you know. But Michael Jordan consistently made the routine plays, and that's why he was so great. You know, he would just come down the court, there it is. And then whenever he would come and dunk on that ass, you know, everybody was like, woo. But the point what I was trying to make, that Michael Jordan, how Michael Jordan spoiled us, is because he would constantly make the routine plays. So whenever we would see like a Larry Johnson, you know, say come down, you know, he was like a modern day Zion Williamson, come down. Wow, you know what I'm saying? When we would see the Shaqs or the Magic Johnsons, you know, we'd see some extraordinary plays, you know, we would get so excited. So fast forward to LeBron James. That's why LeBron James, I feel like, plays how he plays now. It's because LeBron James is like America, you know, and Jordan was like Jesus. And coming to find out, that's what they called him, Black Jesus, Black Jesus. Except he didn't have the Jesus sandals. He had the Jordans. Shout out to Spike Lee for getting those Jordans so popular like that. I didn't buy them, though. Had one pair of Jordans. My stepmama ended up buying them for me. you know, and those was what the not the 11, but that's whenever I had the red and black ones. Woo! Those was fresh. But what I was trying to say, but Jordan is like Jesus, you know, because you knew who was getting the ball at the end of the day. And you know who you going to talk to at the end of the day. At the end of every day, or even when you wake up, you know who you're going to talk to. You're going to talk to God. When you're going through something, you're going to talk to God. You're going to talk to Jesus. You know what I'm saying? But LeBron James, it's like America, which means there's other countries out there. At the end of the day, you don't really rely on LeBron James, like as far as spirituality, something that's going to get you out of a hole. But you're going to depend on him throughout your day. You need him to get through your day. You still got to pay him taxes. You still got to do your due diligence. And that's why LeBron James is flashy. LeBron James is that big guy who you can just give the ball to, and he's going to come down and punch it. Boom! There in that ass. He can step back and shoot a three. He can dime you up. You know, it's like America, because America is a great country. LeBron James is a great player. But Michael Jordan is like Jesus. LeBron James is like America. Like America is great. LeBron is great. I was watching the McDonald's game that he was in, you know, with this coronavirus. They're on ESPN. They're replaying a lot of stuff. So I was watching him do the dunk contest. And I remember what Ben – he's just a couple years older than me. I remember being, I think I was in about my freshman year. No, I was still in high school or something like that. But he's watching the dunk. I remember watching him back in the day. He's like, he gave you what you wanted. LeBron James consistently gives you what you want. And that means he's going to go out there and he's going to throw some dunks in. He's going to throw you some good dimes in, good passes. You know, he's going to go out there. He's going to show you he cares about Black Lives Matter. He's going to do everything. He's everything that you want to see. But it doesn't mean necessarily he's going to win, but he's going to give you everything that you want to see. What makes him so great, just like America, is that he does win, though. He does win. Just like America, we do win. When we suck up, we just suffered a few losses from the Vietnam War. No, even like this coronavirus that's going on now, man, it took 2 weeks for the country to fall on its knees. 2 weeks. This coronavirus, we suffered in the L right now. LeBron James has suffered some L's in the playoffs. He done lost a few championships. So is America. Jordan didn't. Jordan won every single championship that he played in. Didn't even go to a game seven. The people sleeping on the fact that he done beat the Los Angeles Lakers when Magic was playing. Jesus. That's why he was consistently good. Once he figured it out, Doug Collins, man, did Jordan great. Whenever Jordan was first came in, then Jordan ended up getting hurt. What, his second year, and then Collins ended up getting laid off, and the assistant coach became the head coach, Phil Jackson. Scottie Pippen came in, B.J. Armstrong came in, eventually Ron Harper. But when Dennis Rodman came, this is how consistently Jordan wanted to win. Coming out of that retirement, he went to Phil Jackson and was like, man, it's this young dude who's balling. Well, he's not really young, around the same age, who's balling, who used to consistently beat up on Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen. I'm talking about Dennis Rodman. Y'all remember when he was with the Bad Boys? Scottie Pippen said he could not stand Dennis Rodman. But Michael Jordan went to Pippen and was like, yo, we got to win. We got to win. We've been consistently good. When you be consistent, you got to find little small things that's going to continue, that's going to uplift you so you continue to be consistent. Because when you be consistent over a certain amount of time, you get what? You get comfortable. And when you get comfortable, that's when you start to mess up. So you got to get comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's what Michael Jordan did, because he consistently wanted to be great. So he made himself uncomfortable by, man, just think about how that conversation went with his head. Like, man, I'm just coming off of basketball, man. I just lost to the Orlando Magic. It's like, man, people going to expect me to be great. Just think about that. Just think about the conversation he had. It's like, ding, 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 Dennis Rodman. And Dennis Rodman, so he went to go talk to Pippen, went to go talk to Phil, was like, yo, we need to make this happen. That's when you got the, I ain't going to say the first big three, but that's when you had that three. They ended up going 72-10 and winning the national, the NBA title. And now coming to find out, Jordan and Dennis Rodman didn't even speak. They didn't even speak. They just went out there and did their job. And Jordan wasn't even the most popular person in Chicago anymore. He was on the court, but Dennis Rodman was the most popular person in Chicago because he used to go out and party. Have you guys seen that Dennis Rodman documentary? Woo, the stuff that he used to do, man. Woo, shout out to Dennis Rodman, though, you know what I'm saying? Shout out to Durant, Oklahoma, too, as well, man. But the point I'm trying to make, Jordan knew what he had to do. But that's how, because Jordan was consistently good. He knew what he wanted, and that was to win. And he didn't care who he pissed off to do it. And that's why I feel like LeBron James is like America. It's great. He gives you exactly what you want to see. You're going to get your money's worth. He's going to win more than he loses. But Jordan is like Jesus. At the end of the day, that's who you're going to pray to. At the end of the day, that's who's going to get the ball. And everybody knew he was going to get the ball. And because he has failed so many times, that's what he says, just because he has failed before. And that's why he believes in himself, how he's going to win, and that's why he takes every last shot of the game. But, yeah, man, it's called The Last Dance. It's about to air April 19th on ESPN. I personally cannot wait, as you can tell. I will be TiVoing it. And who knows how many times I'm about to watch this thing, though. But it's, what, an eight-part series or something like that, documentary. I really can't wait to see it. It's coming on ESPN. If you guys want to comment, go ahead and comment below, man. Thank you for tuning in, man. This is my nice comparison about Michael Jordan and LeBron James. You know what I'm saying? But it's about to go down April 19th, the last dance, man. Thank y'all for tuning in. So with your boy, Petey Pete, and I'm out.